Praise the Lord, now and forever, beloved in Christ. Today is Pentecost Sunday. The theme for this homily is the descent of the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit.
There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary God is here.
Today, the Church celebrates one of her greatest feasts, namely Pentecost, the day on which the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and other disciples. Before Pentecost, the disciples were hiding behind locked doors, afraid and uncertain about the future. But after receiving the Holy Spirit, they emerged transformed, bold, joyful, united, and filled with divine power. Peter, who once denied Jesus, now preached fearlessly before crowds of thousands. The apostles, who were once timid, became missionaries ready to suffer and even die for the gospel. Beloved, the readings of today invite us to reflect deeply on the meaning of the Spirit's coming and on our responsibility as Spirit-filled Christians. There are three main parts to this homily. The first one, the significance of the Spirit's manifestation as tongues of fire. The significance of the Spirit's manifestation as tongues of fire. Beloved, in the first reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, we hear that when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and the other disciples, tongues as of fire appeared among them. Tongues as of fire appeared among them. Acts 2, 3. Fire is a powerful biblical symbol. Throughout Scripture, fire represents the presence, power, holiness, and purification of God. He appeared, for instance, to Moses in the burning bush. He guided Israel through the wilderness with a pillar of fire. And at Mount Sinai, he descended in fire. Thus, the tongues of fire at Pentecost signify that the Spirit of God had come to dwell in the disciples in a new and empowering way. First, fire gives light. The Holy Spirit enlightens our minds to understand God's truth. Without the Spirit, we easily walk in darkness, confusion, and error. Secondly, fire gives warmth. The Holy Spirit fills hearts with love. Love for God and love for neighbor. A Christian without love is like cold ashes without fire. Again, a Christian without love is like cold ashes without fire. Thirdly, fire purifies. For instance, gold is purified by fire, and so the Holy Spirit purifies us from sin, selfishness, pride, hatred, and spiritual lukewarmness. Next, fire spreads. A single flame of fire can burn a whole forest. The Holy Spirit was not given to the apostles merely for personal holiness, but for mission, that is, to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. It is also significant that the fire of Pentecost descended in no other form than the form of tongues. This signifies the gifts of knowledge and eloquence to proclaim the good news. So the tongues of fire should remind us that Pentecost was not simply an emotional experience. It was a divine empowerment for holiness, unity, and the mission of evangelization. The second part of the homily, each disciple received a tongue of fire. An important detail in the first reading is that a tongue of fire rested on each of the disciples, Acts 2:3. The Spirit did not descend on only St. Peter or St. John or a selected few. Every disciple received the Spirit, Acts 2:4. This is profoundly significant. It means that every baptized Christian has received gifts from the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. No one in the church is spiritually empty or useless. Thus, in the second reading, we are reminded that the Spirit gives us a variety of gifts. We read, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Some receive the gift of teaching, others leadership, healing, administration, music, encouragement, hospitality, wisdom, prayer, generosity, or service. Some have the gifts of preaching publicly, whilst others quietly strengthen the church through hidden sacrifices and intercessory prayer. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts according to God's wisdom and according to the needs of the church. This means two things. First, no one should feel inferior because his or her gift differ from those of others. The hand cannot, for instance, say to the eye, I do not need you. Every gift matters. Second, no one should become proud because of his gifts or her gifts. The gifts are not personal achievements. They are graces freely given by God. The tragedy is that many Christians either do not know their gifts or fail to use them. Some bury their talents because of fear, laziness, discouragement, or criticism from others. Beloved, Pentecost challenges us to rediscover the gifts the Holy Spirit has placed within us. Now the third and last part of today's homily. All gifts are meant for the building up of the church. St. Paul, in today's second reading, makes another crucial point that spiritual gifts are not given for selfish purposes. He says, and I quote, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good," unquote. Again, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, unquote. 1 Corinthians 12:7. The Holy Spirit gives gifts for the good of the church, namely the body of Christ. A gift that is not used for service loses its purpose. Just as organs in the body exist to serve the whole body, so every Christian gift exists to strengthen the Christian community or the whole church. The choir sings not for applause, but to lift souls to God. Catechists teach not for recognition, but to form disciples. Priests minister not for power, but for service. Parents nurture children, not merely for society, but for God's kingdom. Beloved, the Spirit creates unity amid diversity. So at Pentecost, people from different nations heard the apostles speaking in their own languages. The Spirit did not erase differences, rather, He united people through their differences. This is a miracle of Pentecost, unity without uniformity. Again, this is a miracle of Pentecost, unity without uniformity. Unfortunately, in our world today, divisions are everywhere. Tribalism, political polarization, ethnic conflicts, jealousy, and competition, even within the church. The Spirit comes to heal these divisions and to unite us into one body in Christ Jesus. Where the Spirit is present, there is reconciliation, cooperation, mutual respect, and communion. Conclusion. Beloved in Christ, Pentecost is not merely a historical event we remember once a year. It is an ongoing reality in the life of the church. The same Spirit who descended upon the apostles and the other disciples desires to descend upon us today, to enlighten our minds, inflame our hearts, purify our lives, and empower us for mission. Let us then ask ourselves some serious personal questions. What gifts has the Spirit given me? What gifts has the Spirit given me? Again, how am I using them? How am I using these gifts? And the third question, am I contributing to the growth of the church, or am I merely a passive spectator? Am I contributing to the growth of the church, or am I merely a passive spectator? Beloved, may we never be Christians who hide behind locked doors of fear, who hide behind locked doors of indifference, who hide behind locked doors of complacency. Instead, may we become courageous witnesses of Christ in our homes, workplaces, schools, communities, and in the society as a whole. Finally, may each of us discover our gifts, develop them faithfully, and use them generously for the building up of the church, the body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Amen.